And I'm joined by Kirsten Banks in this studio. Kirsten Banks is a Wiradjuri woman who is 12 days away from graduating from the University of New South Wales with a Bachelor of Science majoring in Physics. That's exciting. And she currently works as an astronomy guide for the Sydney Observatory and has developed a huge passion for astronomy and star observations over the years. She's written for The Guardian Australia, co-authored a paper published in the Oxford Research Encyclopedia of Planetary Science, and she's here with me now to talk about what is new in space. Kirsten, thank you for joining us.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm so excited. I'm ready to talk space. I've been so ready to talk space for so long.
I mean, yeah, you're quite a fan from your, according to this, you know, intro here.
Oh, yes. You got it right on. Yeah.
All right. Tell us what's happening. What's new? What's making news?
Okay. So we've got a few new things in space this month. A few of you may have heard of a new planet has been discovered in our solar system, has doubled the size of our solar system. So we're getting bigger and bigger and bigger. But this planet is a little small. It's a frozen dwarf planet, 300 kilometers across on the outskirts of the solar system. Now, it's officially known as 2015 TG387. Great name. Fantastic.
<Okay. laughs>
Encased in my mind. But the nickname is fantastic. It is nicknamed the Goblin.
The Goblin.
The
wow.
Goblin. Yes, because it was discovered around Halloween in 2015.
That's fantastic.
So you can say astronomers were really great at naming things.
Oh, completely.
Just
whatever's going on at the time. Yeah. Halloween. Yeah, you know what?
Yes, the Goblin. It makes sense. Yes. So
it is a dwarf planet. So.
It is a dwarf planet. That's true. Dwarf Goblin.
Dwarf Goblin. Goblin Dwarf.
One of the two.
Anyway, continue. Sorry.
That's okay. So this discovery of this planet is a little breadcrumb leading us to the discovery of the elusive Planet 9 or Planet X or Hidden Planet Nibiru, whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we're looking forward to hopefully finding that big Neptune-sized planet on the outer skirts of the solar system sometime soon.
Cool. Exciting.
Hopefully. Moving a little bit further outside of the solar system, astronomers suspect to have found the first ever exomoon. So we've heard of exoplanets, planets outside of the solar system, but now we think we've found a moon outside of the solar system, and it is incredible. It is 8,000 light years away, and the moon, not the planet, the moon is about the same size as Neptune.
Which is
which is one of the giant planets of our solar system.
Wow, so a really giant moon.
So really
That's
giant
exciting.
Moon. Yes.
That would be visually like stunning to look at, I'd imagine.
Not quite. Being 8,000 light years away, how we discover these things, we look at a star and we wait for a planet, or in this case the moon as well, to pass in front of the star, and the brightness dips a little bit. So
and
we see this
little
transit,
fluctuation.
We see that little fluctuation.
Yeah,
so
okay.
Very pretty on a graph, I must say, but I can't say that we've taken any photos, direct photos of it.
Mm.
But yes, we found it during the transit method and we did follow-up observations with Hubble and saw a second small dip in brightness following the planet's dip around 3.5 hours afterwards. And then on another transit, it happened 1.25 hours before.
Right.
So it matches a model of potentially being an exomoon.
That's awesome.
Just pretty cool. First ever exomoon discovered, potentially. And and more on moons. It's the question on every astronomer's minds, at least since this draft paper came out. It's titled, Can Moons Have Moons?
I have seen this.
It's very cool.
On my newsfeed.
Astronomers officially call them submoons, but I think we should call them moon moons.
Oh, that's way better.
So much better.
Yeah.
So
completely.
Much cuter as well.
It is.
And the verdict is, yes, moons can theoretically have moons, but we haven't found any.
Oh.
And they may not be very stable.
Though.
It's a nice theory.
So this is emerging research. This is new that moons can have moons. Okay. That is nice.
Yeah.
A little, yeah.
Something that we haven't seen it exist yet, but theoretically, based on the models and science and physics and stuff, it can happen.
Yeah, that's awesome.
We can have moon
there you
moons.
Moon moons.
And my favorite space story that came out just this week, it's titled The Pasta in Our Stars, which is just combining two of my favorite things in the world, astronomy and pasta. It is fantastic. So we're looking at neutron stars, which are these really, really dense dead stars that can only form once a really big star, a massive star, has to die. So once a star burns up all of its nuclear fuel, it collapses under its own gravity and compresses into a neutron star. They're about the size of a major city, but one teaspoon of neutron star matter can weigh the same as a mountain on Earth.
Wow.
One teaspoon.
That's nuts.
It's a very massive
fathom. Yeah.
Cup of tea.
Just a teaspoon.
Just a teaspoon.
Small weight.
So we know a little bit about neutron stars, but we have no idea about what's on the inside. Mm. So astronomers have run some theoretical models, and the structure has been compared to the shape of some of our favourite pastas. Because why not?
We're just drawing parallels everywhere, right? Just
exactly.
Every, you know, Halloween pasta, whatever we can
exactly.
Make
so,
it more understandable.
Understandable. Yeah, sure. So what pasta are we dealing with here? So we've got a rigid crust of iron where, now I know we talk about neutron stars, so you might think it has only neutrons inside the star, but it has neutrons and protons, so what we call nuclei. Mm-hmm. So on the crust, we have the protons and neutrons are in a spherical shape because they're not being crushed too much. So we've got our gnocchi. This is actually from the article. This is
that's
fantastic.
Great. That's great.
As you get deeper, things start to get crushed a little bit more. And now the nuclei are now long and stringy like spaghetti.
Wow.
So go from gnocchi to spaghetti. Deeper and deeper, they start to get flattened into sheets like lasagna. And further down, this is where it gets really loopy. Further down, neutrons escape the nuclei to form cylindrical voids inside of the star. So then you have anti-spaghetti.
Anti-spaghetti. Wow.
Anti-spaghetti. I think you can actually buy this sort of spaghetti where it's like a thin tube.
A thin tube.
Not like linguine, the thick one, but like the very, very thin tube. So there you go, anti-spaghetti.
It's making me hungry.
Yeah, I know, right? Even farther, the voids morph into blobby shapes, so we have anti-gnocchi. I love this so much.
You're not joking, are you?
I'm not joking. This is legit.
A legit comparison.
Absolutely legit.
Okay. All right.
And then in the core, unfortunately, there is no pasta shape to compare to.
Oh, no.
Maybe we can just have a big pool of pasta stuff in the core.
What would you describe it as then, or you can't really?
We don't know. So it's all theoretical, but there's just no pasta shape to compare it to in the core, apparently.
That's just not good enough.
It's not good enough. We need to have a new type of pasta. We can call it the neutron star core pasta.
That would sell, yeah.
Oh yeah,
that'd be great for marketing. Thanks.
Stellar pasta.
Is that all the news?
That's all the news.
I mean,
but to let you know what's up in the sky this month, Orion and the Saucepan are starting to come out to play. So if you look out over the eastern horizon a few hours after sunset, Orion will pop up in our night skies. The Great Hunter, as described in Greek mythology, will be in our night skies until about March. But most of us here down under, especially if you grew up in Australia, you may have seen part of him as a saucepan. So his belt makes up the belt of the his belt makes up the base of the saucepan, and his dagger the handle. Although personally, I think it looks more like a shopping trolley because it's just a bit too deep to be a saucepan. Maybe a space pot, but not a saucepan. But look out for that. That's coming up in our night skies for the near future.
There you go. You heard it here first. Look out for a space pot in the night skies.
Cook your pasta in the space pot.
It's too much.
It's space.
That's crazy. I mean, my respect for science. I mean, that's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
Analogies everywhere.
Kirsten, thank you so much for your time today on the show.
My pleasure.
Have a great day. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you. I'll be back next month with more space news.
Perfect. All right. That was Kirsten Banks speaking to us about astronomy, moon moons, pasta, geometry, and star observations to look out.